All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner here with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. And tonight, we're doing things a little bit differently than what we had originally anticipated, but for good reason. There's no wrong, bad reason for why we're switching it up. But I did come across one question in my mailbag that I wanted to take a little bit more time because it was a multifaceted question. And I think it deserves a little bit more time than just a, yes, here's my answer. So I figured that I would take the next 15, 20 minutes to talk about this in particular. And we'll keep that mailbag open throughout the off season. And we can just pull topics off of one question. Of course, for our live listeners here on Spotify Live, if you want to chime in, if you want to come up and talk about it, feel free to hit that speaker request button or throw your questions down in the comment section as well. I'll be taking some mailbag submissions. That's the right word. Mailbag submissions in the comments as well. So I want to read out this. So I got a lot in my DMs. I got a lot everywhere else, but this specific question actually comes from the dreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. So if you aren't doing so already, what are you doing? Head to the dreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We're still going through the offseason, which in my opinion is the real season. But the question comes from Eastman88, who is a very strong member on our message boards in our comment section at the Dream Shake. So shout out to you. Thank you for all that you do for our community at the Dream Shake. Here's the question from Eastman88. What will it take to consider next season a success from a win-loss perspective? And I was thinking, you know, because we had thought about this, you know, we kind of briefly touched on this here and there, but there is a couple of different answers to this question, right? Obviously, the Rockets finished with more wins this season than last season. Part of that had to do with the fact that there were 82 full games this season, whereas the season before, there was not. But I do believe that the Rockets' win percentage did get a little bit better in 2022 versus 2021. So in 2022, the Rockets were 20-62 with a .245 winning percentage. Go back to 2021 and the Houston Rockets, also not a very good season, but they finished with a 17-55, excuse me. So that is a win percentage of 23%. So yes, this season was an improvement, but 29 NBA teams for the second year in a row did better than the Rockets. So would you consider this season more successful than last season because they had more wins? I think that you can say that this season was more successful than last season without using that argument. And I don't necessarily, and that kind of poses the question, do wins measure success for next season for a rebuilding team like the Rockets? And I feel like this past season, it didn't need to be, but I do believe next season wins and losses matter a little bit more. And not even that. It's about being better than other teams. So the first part of this answer for me is the Rockets need to be better than other teams and need to have more wins than they had the previous year. So they had 20 wins this year. They're going to need more than 20 wins and they're going to need to be better than other teams. To me, I put a little bit more stock in being better than other teams because you could have, you know, like we saw, 35 wins in the West this year got you to the play-in. 35 wins in the East this year got you to the lottery. All right. So again, that mailbag episode here on the dream take. I do have a speaker request, though, from Sergio. So I am going to bring him up. I'm going to kind of break this up tonight. But I do have a speaker request. I want to honor that speaker request if I can. So I'm going to do so tonight. Sergio, welcome back to the Dream Take, my friend. How are you? How have you been?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, sadly, I did miss the Rockets' last five games this season. But hey, seeing as though that the season ended greatly, well, draft-wise, I kind of feel like, what's our next move? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, so we're branding this as a mailbag episode, but I did kind of want to take a different turn with it. I wanted to take one specific question and kind of exploit it. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier, but I do also want to go back to the genesis of the episode, which was a mailbag. And I did want to honor any speaker requests that came in. So you're the first one of the evening. So if you've got any mailbag questions for me, for sure.
Oh, I could ask anything?
Ask me anything, AMA.
All right, think about it. We got to think about draft-wise. Who do you think that we're going to pick in this draft? We have stacked forwards in this draft. I, for one, believe that we should go with Paolo.
That's a loaded question. So we're assuming we have the number one pick. I'm guessing that's kind of where you're coming from here.
Yes.
Okay, so if the Rockets pick number one, who should they take? Here's my thing. I've said it in the past, I'll say it again. To me, I rule out Chet only because I feel like the Rockets are in a position to where they do need to improve this season. And I feel that Chet is the furthest away out of the three from being truly successful and reaching his potential in the NBA. Now that leaves Jabari and Paolo. And, you know, Mike is team Jabari. I'm team Paolo. But Mike has given me reason to be content with Jabari. For me, I take a little bit more stock in the fact that Paolo and Kevin Porter are really close. Paolo and Jalen Green
are
obviously really close. Yeah, Paolo and Kevin Porter Jr. are both from Seattle. So they have that connection. They've known each other for a little bit. Jalen Green obviously has been really close. They're all West Coast guys. So that's kind of how they all know each other through AAU and things like that. So to me, chemistry-wise, Paolo's your guy. And to me, there's not enough to differentiate and make either one of those players better than the other. So that's why I am, as of this moment, and it's what, April 24th, I'm going with Paolo over Jabari by a smidge. It's the chemistry that puts him over the edge for me.
Yeah, that too. If you also look at it as well, Paolo is actually he's a good low post scorer. He also is a solid off the dribble. He's a good shooter. He's a good playmaker. He's able to make his own shot. I think the only problem is he's a inconsistent three. He's an inconsistent shooter and kind of is like, you know, like a tiny bit hesitant to like shoot the three ball. But I feel like if he would fit into like the Rockets, like what we have, what we're building here, and you know, make him adapt to our play styles, you know. You got a good coaching staff.
There's no runaway prospect, right? And in a draft where there's no runaway prospect, there's going to be flaws with whoever you pick. Even in a runaway draft, there's flaws in every pick. But
exactly.
In a draft like this one, what makes it so intriguing, I guess, is that you have three players here who are very similar, and you can make an argument for any of the three. To me, the reason why Chet is number three out of three is because I just think that where the Rockets are is not where Chet – I think Chet needs to go to a place where he can be – like he can make mistakes and it can be like – like I think Orlando is a great fit for him. Obviously,
yeah,
him
there have been
mock drafts
that he should go to Orlando.
Chet makes a lot of sense for the Magic in my opinion. But also like – the Rockets might not necessarily have a choice in who they get of the three. And I do think that you should take any of the three before you take anybody else. But like if the Rockets are three, It depends on who's one and two. And Orlando might be in a Orlando is in a better position to pick Chet than another team because Orlando still is looking for the guy that can be their number one. And I don't think Chet would be our number one. I think Chet would be our number two, possibly our number three. Chet could be Orlando's number one. So that's personally why I wouldn't go with Chet. I think you need a guy that can be like a glorified role player in a way. And I do think that Paolo and Jabari can be that. I do think Paolo's ceiling slightly higher, which the upside, the slight tick in upside is another reason why I'd go Paolo. But that's just like, it's also so early, right? We're still a month away from the lottery, or a little bit less than a month away from the lottery. So I don't want to, like, I don't think too much in the little details between the prospects and all that. Because at the end of the day, if the Rockets go three, if the Rockets are the third pick in the draft, they just got to sit back, wait for two of those guys to go, and take the one that's available. And there's no real need to discuss, oh, you know, does this person fit? Does this person fit? Does this person fit? When the choice will be made for you by the other two teams.
That's right.
So to me, that's why I haven't really gone and looked at a lot of film on these guys yet. I've read and I've studied through other people who have done that, but I have not done my own personal research on any of the top three for that reason. Once we know our draft position and a little bit more about the draft,
then we can go more deep into context about this as well.
Like, what if the Rockets go four? Like, if the Rockets go four, then we're not getting any of those guys, and we got to look at the rest of the crop.
Man, no one even say four.
I mean, but Sergio, you gotta, like, that's a possibility that we can't just rule out at this point. And yes, we could want something and all that, but let's focus on the things that we can control versus the things we can't.
That's true.
All right. Thank you, Sergio. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me.
Yeah, I'll try to join in these talks anytime I can.
And here, Sergio, let me ask you one question on the way out, because this is kind of how we started the show, and this is a good way to kind of tie everybody in.
All right.
In terms of wins and losses, what would a successful year look like for you?
Ooh, I would have to say think about this. I would just say just like run the rotation that we were finishing out when we were winning those games, you know. Start KPJ and Jalen together.
Okay, but a number. Give me a number. Give me a number.
Like in wins?
Yes. How many wins does this team need next year to be a successful year in 2023?
Ooh, we need at least. Wait, what was our record this year?
20-62.
20-62. So I'd say at least 37 games. 37.
So a 36 win season is not a successful season for you.
36
wins. There's no wrong
answer. As long as, like, if we're able to make at least a 10th seed push for the play-in, I call that a success already.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, appreciate you, Sergio. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me up here.
Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing here, too, is, you know, wins and losses don't – like, there isn't an exact number that needs to matter because, look, 37 wins versus 36 wins, obviously not that big of a difference, but also like 33 wins got San Antonio to the 10th seed this year. So I think like if you say, oh, well, if they win 30 games, but if they are in contention for that 10th seed, that could be considered a successful season. So I think what we're seeing is that wins and losses don't exactly equate success. Let's see what my good buddy Michael Brown has to say. Mike coming in on his night off, like the good employee that he is here at the Dream Take. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, long time listener, first time caller. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I'll let Mike know that you said that.
I wanted to just quickly shout out point guard for the Chicago Bulls, Alex Caruso. 0 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in his team's 24-point loss today at home. So I just wanted to join the show, give that stat line for anybody who was curious as to all that money that Chicago gave him for some money.
He did get hurt, though. I think it was in concussion protocol.
Okay. Well, in his time on the court.
How many minutes did he play?
I watched part of that game, and I don't know who I hate more, Grayson Allen or Alex Caruso. It's pretty close.
That's like the worst for you.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's like the anti-Mike Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
Lucas 17 minutes, zero points.
Sorry, I took the game off before he got hurt, so that's not my fault.
Yeah. Well, that. Mike, while I have you, I think it would be a good idea for you to tease the episode we have later in the week, because this was all you. So I would love to give you the floor and share the news we have for our special guest later in the week.
Yeah, Thursday night, if anyone who listens to the show would like to tune into the Dream Shakes Facebook page or Twitter profile, the Dream Take will be joined by current PA announcer Jonathan Sanford here at the Dream Take. So pretty excited, pretty good get for the Dream Take, the Dream Shake. Really looking forward to picking his brain on all things Rockets and NBA and playoffs. It should be a good show.
Yeah, so we are doing things a little bit differently this week. I'm out on Thursday. It's the NFL draft. I've got duties with that at work, but Mike is holding the fort down. Jonathan Sanford's going to do his best Jeremy Brenner impression, and we're going to have a show on Thursday night. Going to go out Friday. Super excited about it. So Jonathan, if you're listening, super excited to have you on. Wish I could make it maybe another time, but I will definitely be listening to yours and Mike's conversation. Looking forward to it. But Mike, before I send you off, the question at the top of the show was, how many wins do the Rockets need in order to have a successful season next year? That was the opening mailbag question, and I think that's what I want to talk to everyone that comes through here and get their opinion before I get mine.
Yeah, if we don't break the Warriors' 73 wins in the regular season record next year, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
74 or bust.
74-8. Anything less than we suck. No, I mean, realistically for me, man, I like Sergio's number at what, 38?
37, 36.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think if they win 35-plus games next year, I don't think you can consider that anything but a success. So 35 is the number. I would ideally like to see us right around 38. But for the official record, I will go 35.
So 34 wins, unsuccessful season.
I would say so. I mean, it would be a tremendous improvement based on 20 wins. But I also think that the team vastly underperformed this year. I think they had more talent than a 20 win team. So
I can vibe with that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's the number is 35. Or more, and I would be pretty happy. But, you know, I think
it sounds good.
Like I've said before, man, I mean, do the offseason right, do the draft right. This is a 40 win team next year. But I'll let you get back to your show.
If a lot goes right. But yes, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you as always.
All right, man.
All right. So to kind of wrap this up here and to give us more of an answer to our question, never mind. We've got another speaker. I want to honor all of these because we don't have as large of an audience as we do here, but it's our good buddy Shane from Down Under. So I'm going to let Shane come up here and drop his mailbag question. Shane, what's going on, man? How are you? How's Monday morning looking like?
It's good. It's good. In Australia, it's public holiday. It's actually a public holiday right now. So
really?
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
What holiday is it?
I think it's Anzac Day. It's called Anzac Day. It's like basically like for like the war in Australia. Like it's kind of like, yeah, in honor of the Australian soldiers and stuff. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Thank you to all those who have served Australia.
Yeah.
I know we have some other listeners in Australia that are probably looking at that. So also happy Greek Easter to those who are celebrating in Greece. Awesome. So you got the day off, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I do. That's why I'm just I'm watching Phoenix Pelicans right now. But yeah.
Oh, perfect. That sounds like a dream. Just having like a wake up on a Monday morning, have nothing to do, and just turn on TV and you got a playoff game. Like, that's amazing. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
When I move to Australia at some point in my life, I can't wait for that.
If you come to Australia, let me know.
I will definitely let you know. But what you got? Yeah. Any questions, Shane?
So I actually just wanted to talk about the win projection thing, because I thought that was actually a really interesting question. Like, because I was actually surprised. Actually, I'm not surprised at the same time that Michael said at 40 wins, because I'm just like, he's ultimate optimist. Well, like 36 or whatever it was, or 37, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, for me, like, I feel like for me, I'd be like really happy if we get 30 wins or like 35.
30 wins. But So let me get Eastman 88's answer, the man of the hour who kind of prompted this whole show, right? He says, for me, I want to see 30 wins minimum. I believe with some added rim protection, and if Jaylen can take that next step, it is doable. It will come down to team defense, in my opinion. The team can score, and they improved on that front as the season went along, but they were dead last in defensive rating. Can they defend enough to win a higher percentage of games next year? That's the key.
Well,
you look at those last 5 or 6, 7 games of the season, and they needed, like, the points were there. They were toe-to-toe with Minnesota. They scored a lot against Sacramento, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I guess Brooklyn was the one outlier game from that. But Toronto, they were really close as well. So, like, they had chances to win. But if the defense was just a smidge better than the worst defense in the league, they might have had a couple wins instead of losses in those last couple of games of the season.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. It's just, I don't know if it's just for me, like, I'm skeptical of, like, Silas actually being able to coach our team to become, like, a winning, like, I know that's not a winning team if you're winning, like, 35 games or something, but just, like,
you know,
to have, like, that kind of success, like, I kind of, like, worry about that.
It's funny because Mike and I on the last show, go listen to it. I'll give you a sneak peek here if you haven't seen it. But if you haven't listened to it, but Mike, we were like basically like going through the path to the Rockets championship, and Mike had like the Rockets winning 35 games next year. It's like a 15 win improvement. And he's like, yeah. And we fire Silas at the end of the year because he sucks. And I'm like, I didn't know if he was being like serious or not. And I was like, Mike, how are you going to go fire our coach after he just won us 15 or 16 more games? And then the very next day, James Borrego got fired, and he was the first coach to ever be fired after improving the team's win total by double digits.
I saw that.
He tweeted me, he's like, I told you so, and I'm like, damn it, man. okay, but that's a little bit different, because I guess, at least with Borrego, he had been there 4 years instead of two or three, and he had gotten that team. Like, I think he had gotten the Hornets to about as far as he could go. And I also think that there were issues there chemistry-wise with the coach and the team. And I don't necessarily know if there's the case with this team with that. But,
I'll give you that. The chemistry is definitely better probably between the coach and our players for our team,
Right.
Mm-hmm. The only thing for me is like it's the end of game execution that I still kind of like worry about, I feel like Silas has a long way to go in that aspect.
He does, but I think also part of it too is he needs a talented enough team to be able to get in those positions, and he hasn't had that yet. But I do think the team he will inherit this next season is going to be the best team he's had, and it'll be the best chance he's had to win basketball games. But Shane, we're about to head out. So anything before we sign off?
I know, I was just going to say the last thing, like, on that point is I do remember Silas actually saying that he didn't do all the different kind of offensive sets that he would normally. Like, he kept it really simple. Like, that was in his the end of season interview. He was talking about that because, like, the team was kind of like new with each other. So hopefully we see more of that offensive genius that was supposedly there in the Mavericks run next year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Shane, thank you so much. Have a happy holiday. Be safe and enjoy.
Thanks, man.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. And I think we're at a point now to where we're going to put a bow on this episode. Before we do, I'm going to answer the prompt that was given at the top of the show. And I'll repeat that prompt from Eastman88 on thedreamshake.com. What will it take to consider next season a success from a win-loss perspective? The magic number I'm going to give is 10. And that means two different things, right? I would like to see this team improve by at least 10 wins. I think that is an achievable goal, and I think that is a reasonable goal. I think 10 wins would get you to 30, so you're at 30 and 52. But the number 10, I think that's a little bit more important here, is where you are in the standings. To the good thing about the play-in series is that you have potential to compete, even though you might not necessarily be a competitive team for the championship. And it gives reason for teams to be competitive that aren't necessarily competing for a title. The Rockets are in that boat next season. And the number 10, I'd much rather see them be the number 10 in terms of wins and losses, because it'll mean that you are better than five teams versus them winning, you know, 16 games instead of 15, or 20 games more instead of 19. To me, I think the improvement is still not necessarily something that you see in a box score or that you see in the standings or that you see on a scoreboard. More so, I'm looking at the product. And if the product is improving, then that is enough for me. Wins and losses don't matter as much. Just win more than the other teams in your conference, because that, I think, is a good indicator in where you are as a franchise. And look, if the Rockets can go from worst team in the league two straight years to the play-in, I don't care how many wins you got, that's a successful season. So that should be the goal for the Rockets this season, is to get to the play-in, regardless of who's there and who's not. Play more than 82 games. Play an 83rd game. Even if it's an 83rd game, you lose that first play-in game, at least that's a step up from where you were. And I do think that the Rockets need to take at least a little bit more than a small step this season. I feel like this season was a small step. You didn't necessarily improve wins and losses, but you improved in terms of growing your team. Now it's time for those wins and losses to catch up. Mike was right. This team, talent-wise, is better than 20 wins. Let's see the talent get those wins back. And let's see the improvement of basketball IQ and just the comfortability, the chemistry with each other also help us get to where we need to go. And I think that's a good place to park the rocket ship for tonight. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. We'll be back on Tuesday night to record another episode. Mike will be there. I'm not 100% sure if I will be. It's usually not my night, but because I'm not going to be there on Thursday, I might slide in for a little bit. But we'll have an episode on Tuesday recording Spotify Live. And as Mike teased earlier in the show, Rockets PA address announcer, voice of the Rockets inside Toyota Center, Jonathan Sanford, is coming to the show. We are not doing that episode on Spotify Live, but rather our Facebook page, give us a like if you're over there, and our Dreamshake SBN Twitter profile. We'll tweet out more information throughout the week, so stick around and stay tuned. You can also head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. Special shout out to Eastman88 for tonight's question that led to this brilliant episode. If you'd like to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, you can do so at BSW_MB. That's Mike's Twitter. You can also follow my Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets!